Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
If the house manager's case is based on the allegations of corruption concerning Hunter Biden and Joe Biden being a sham, then it is directly relevant. And I got to say, the need for the Senate to hear the testimony of Hunter Biden and the need for the Senate to grant the White House lawyers the ability to take that testimony has become all the more relevant.
Day one impeachment hearing, and that's Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to my show. Here's the deal. Chuck Schumer said, the trade of Hunter Biden impeachment testimony, that's off the table. That's not happening. There is this debate and tug of war over witnesses. The Democrats want to have witnesses, and the Republicans, namely right there, Cruz throwing up Hunter Biden, says, well, let's do that in exchange. But Schumer said that no, only witnesses with direct knowledge of the president's actions related to the Ukraine should testify. That only makes sense. But Biden's name has been floated in a potential testimony trade with the one-time national security advisor, John Bolton. That's how that all started. Because the president has said he doesn't want Bolton to testify in his impeachment trial. He said Wednesday he was opposed because it's a national security problem. He told reporters he knows of my thoughts. He knows what I think about leaders. What happens if he reveals how I feel about another leader? And it's not positive. It would make the job a lot harder. But Bolton's knowledge of the president and his thought process is exactly why the Dems are pushing to have Bolton testify. And of course, Bolton, who has a book coming out, has said he's willing to testify in the impeachment trial. And he would be a witness to what could be, the Democrats are saying, the efforts to pressure the Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden. One thing that the president tweeted out, no pressure. So he's paying attention, and he's coming back from Switzerland. So this is the first stage, I guess, in what could be a very short impeachment hearing, or could be longer. The president hopes it's short because he wants to address the nation at the State of the Union, and we are in a presidential year when it comes to the elections, obviously, in November. So your lead Democrats are out there in Iowa and getting ready for the Iowa caucus, which will come up here shortly in a handful of weeks before you know it. So these roads and how they intersect, I think, is kind of fascinating to watch. Let's go to Grimm in Mississippi off the top. Grimm, you have the floor. Hello.
Hey, Kate.
What's up?
I don't know. Have you seen the latest Grimm tune I put out there?
No, but I've got to see it because it sounds like you're giving us the big build-up. Let me see. What's it about?
Well, I found me one of these cartoons about the Super Bowl. What do you call it? The front table in front of the couch, you know, with chips and dip and hot dogs and weenies.
Yeah.
The guy's supposed to be kind of like Stephen Colbert. Looking with his glasses, and then he hollers at his wife, "Hey, honey, would you get the pizza rolls out of the microwave? The trial's about to start." And then the TV sits there, and it has it talking. Of course, the wife's cussing at him, but the TV has it, you know, a caption above it, and it says, "Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 2020 impeachment of Donald J. Trump. The Senate has just acquitted." I thought that's how fast it was going to be.
Yeah, just like that, boom, over. Right?
Yeah, it's all over. You know, he's sitting there, he's got everything ready, and they tell him it's already over before they even announce, you know, do anything. You know, they already decided before they televised.
That would be funny, but that's not happening. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because the Washington Post says 7.5 million people are watching it on cable news or did on Tuesday night when it was dragging out. And then in the afternoon hours, 11 million different viewers or 11 million viewers tuned in. And, of course, all the networks carried it, ABC, CBS, NBC, and then you had Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN. So that's pretty interesting. And then the audience dumped out during the primetime hours because, of course, they probably had had enough to like 7.55 million. How about that?
Yeah, well, what can you say? We're all becoming electronic junkies. This country,
no kidding.
You know, they worried about it. They worried about it in the 70s with kids and television. I mean, Kate, we've talked about this before. They made the mistake with TV because they initially wanted it to be an educational tool. But when you throw in, well, like the internet, they threw in porn. And there's more money in that. But it's the same thing with television back in the 50s. They messed that up. And, you know, I tried my best to lobby online that don't screw this internet up. And they sure did that, too. Because it was meant. Well, it was. It was meant to be an educational tool.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I'm one of the ones that can prove Vice President Gore did not create the internet. He was just a guy standing in the background as about 20 to 30 college students and about five universities created the internet. And it was meant to be an educational tool. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you about that. I agree. Everything you read about it, that's absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. It was tinkering around with it, and there were different kids at different universities. Sure, yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. You can't argue by yourself unless you're one of them people that does nothing more than put fence posts out in Montana range. Anyhow. If you want to get up with the latest sci-fi stuff, now I pulled a little prank, but it does scare me. But you know, Siri and Hello Google, they're all AIs. But there has been a lot of talk about SAI, which is called Super Artificial Intelligence, that thinks for itself. Some idiots in some major programming accidentally released it on the internet, and they couldn't retrieve it back. It won't talk back to them. It started thinking for itself. Then there's a lot of people thinking, oh, my. Arnold Schwarzenegger, we're going to have it actually happen.
That's funny. I love that. Grim. Oh, only you could tell us that story. It's interesting. Speaking of AI, my next thing up, her story, which features Carol Burnett. You hear it on the show, and you can hear it on Alexa on the Echo devices. You can call that up if you load it into your skills. We're going there next.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
American icon and funny lady Carol Burnett made audiences laugh no matter what the stage, but her show on CBS was groundbreaking for women. I'm Kate Delaney, and this is her story.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The CBS network initially didn't want Burnett to do a variety show because they believed only men could be successful in that format, but she proved them wrong. Carol Burnett's one-hour-long variety show won 23 Emmys throughout its run in the 1970s. She struck gold, opening most shows with an impromptu question-and-answer session with the audience. She ended each show by tugging on her left ear, which was a message to her grandmother. Burnett also won the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2005, being recognized for being one of America's most cherished entertainers. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Burnett, did you ever watch the Carol Burnett show? I think men and women like Carol Burnett and did back in the heyday. I was a kid, and I begged my mother to watch that show. She's 86 years old now. She's from San Antonio, Texas, and she's a was a comedian, a singer, actress, and she's done some cameos of late, but her variety show is the thing that was really interesting. You heard her story there, talking about the tug on her ear and all that kind of stuff. And I was just looking at something the other day, and I'm not surprised by this because of syndication, you know, the reruns and other things that she's been involved with. But I wonder if she thought when she was a kid that she would have the impact on the industry that she, number one, has. And she has got a net worth, supposedly, of $25 million. So good for Carol Burnett and, of course, everything that she's achieved. She had three daughters. One of them tragically died, but she has two other daughters who are living. So, and she is the queen of comedy. A lot of young comedians or comedians in their late 30s and 40s and 50s talk about, and probably even in their 60s, talk about the impact that she had. All right, this segment is a little bit of odds and ends. And we know that it's all about impeachment, and I talked a little bit about the first day and some of the numbers. I'll bring that up again. Viewing was strongest between 9 and 10 p.m. 8.1 million were watching Fox News and MSNBC and CNN, etc. If you wanted to contrast that with something, NCIS, love that show, on CBS, although I haven't watched in a long time, had 11.23 million viewers. And what's really interesting is, and I saw this in the Washington Post, I didn't realize this, but you had the special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress in July, and that attracted 12.97 million viewers. So some are paying attention, because that's not nobody paying attention to it, but it's not, everybody riveted to what's happening. And I guess I'm not surprised, because so much of it is cumbersome to get through. That's why when I jump on the air, I just try to give you the who, what, where, and what's of the day and where we're at. And the where we're at portion of impeachment is now it goes into another day. And another day means more conversation on doing the thing that you do. I mean, the Senate hears the opening arguments and the making the case against the president, and the Senate has the House managers do their thing, and that's what they did. So, you know, it moves on to the next day, and then eventually the decision as to whether or not there are witnesses, what the witnesses will be, and, you know, you might be looking at this or thinking, well, what's the difference between the House and the Senate? And, of course, this is a trial, so that's the number one difference in what you call a trial, where the senators are the jurors, the Chief Justice is the judge, but it's certainly not a traditional criminal trial. And they try to compare it. This is supposed to be about process and all of that, but it's very, very different. And what's at stake? I mean, what's at stake is different too, because impeachment is determining whether someone should be fired from their job. I mean, that's what it is. That's what this is about, whether the president should be removed or not, period. This is not like prison time, property's going to be lost, death sentence. I mean, of course, it's not a criminal defense deal that's being that's folding out in front of us. And then the other thing is, are the jurors impartial? Justice Roberts asked the senators to rise, take an oath of impartiality, which just seems just so absurd to me, because I do not believe that you are going to see impartial people. I don't. But maybe I'm wrong on that, and maybe that's not true. And it's just all about listening to what's being said and, you know, moving on from there. The jury foreman for the trial, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, has said there's zero chance the president's going to be removed from office. And I agree. I think the most stunning thing that could happen and the thing that you would be caring about is the president being removed. And that's what this whole thing is about. So now you have the lay of the land if you didn't before. And that's it. I mean, obviously, you know, the Supreme Court is supposed to be seen as nonpartisan, so I would assume that for Roberts, that's what he's concerned about as this moves on, because this is a big role for him. But the press of, I mean, meaning the press of the pressure to just you move forward with it day after day after day, and if are there going to be witnesses? I mean, that's, to me, the witness thing is the other big deal, because are you going to see testimony? Is there going to be any kind of testimony? All right, I'd be remiss not to hit a couple of quick things in odds and ends, because I gave you the wrap-up of the whole impeachment thing. I think this is shocking and probably gets thrown under the rug because so much else is going on. The Saudi crown prince allegedly was involved in hacking Jeff Bezos' phone. And, of course, Jeff Bezos controls the world, the Amazon king, but the richest man in the world, and the leader of the world's biggest oil-exporting nation, were at a dinner party in L.A. They exchanged phone numbers, and we're talking about Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and MBS is really what everybody calls him. So then, remember, his phone got hacked. So the thought is, this is where probably this malicious, tiny malicious piece of code allows the sender to extract massive amounts of information from a phone over the course of many months. There is this idea that, so UN human rights investigators have concluded with high confidence that an account belonging to Mohammed sent the infected video to Bezos and triggered that extraction of data and fueled that campaign against the billionaire. Be careful who you exchange your number with. Isn't that the lesson in this, especially if you're someone like Jeff Bezos, right? It's like all of us. I'm no sheikh, and I'm no billionaire times 10 who sits on top of a huge economic throne called Amazon. But I would say you'd have to be so careful who you load into the phone and what you assume is okay. And they're both there, and why would he think anything's going to happen? It's going to be tagged on a video. But that's what it looks like anyway, that it came from that meeting, the fact that they said hello to each other, had a conversation, and then exchanged numbers, and there you go, right? And this is the world we live in. There is always the possibility of the hack attack. I mean, we are wide open. No matter if you have a ton of money or not, you can be vulnerable. And obviously, vulnerable is where he was at. The president wrapped up his visit, by the way, to the World Economic Forum on Wednesday. Meetings focused on business, of course, and foreign policy. And that's it, you know. There were some tweets that went down throughout the day. And then it was about the conversation. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, Switzerland. Hello, U.S., as the plane has landed. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
During President Trump's impeachment trial, House Prosecutor Jerry Nadler began to lay out the case to remove President Trump from office.
The object of the president's Ukraine scheme was to obtain a corrupt advantage for his reelection campaign. As we will show, the president went to extraordinary lengths to cheat in the next election.
Nadler, speaking in the well of the Senate, Republican Congressman Mark Meadows said lead prosecutor Adam Schiff didn't say anything new.
It was just a repeat and a repeat and a repeat of the same things that he has been saying for a long time. You know, no new substance, no new arguments, just a lot of rhetoric that's not supported by fact.
House prosecutors have 24 hours to present their case over 3 days this week. The president's lawyers will then have 24 hours over 3 days to answer the charges. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll know this is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Title of this next book in Author's Corner, Soul Fiber for Soul Fitness, Pamela June, PJ Anderson. You'll catch her name on the title of the book at Amazon.com. PJ, I'm going to call you PJ. I like that. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for the call. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the premise of the book. So tell us about Soul Fiber for Soul Fitness. For people who want to know what that is, what do you tell them?
Well, it is a collection of articles that I wrote that year. I think it was 2018. And it was actually as a result of me finding that writing is very therapeutic for me. And so I started writing Soul Fiber for Soul Fitness in 2017, and it ended up being a book that was also a result of the 7 African-American newspapers in Ohio and in Michigan that carried the articles. And that's really the way it all started out, as an opportunity to just kind of heal myself, doing some self-care and some self-healing and some self-reflection and putting it in writing. That's how it ended up happening the way it did.
And we should tell the audience about your story and about veterans and what happened with you. Tell everybody about your story and how you came to reflect and journal and how that's helped you mentally, emotionally, etc.
Well, I served in the Gulf War and the Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and the Gulf War. And first time away from home for such a long extended period of time, 9 months as a matter of fact, that I was serving overseas, and it was such a traumatic experience being the only chaplain, the only female chaplain on the base, and, you know, having the usual comments made by my colleagues, you know, that I didn't have a right to be in their uniform and I didn't have a right to be in ministry and those kinds of things. And it was a very troubling experience for me because I didn't have anyone to turn to, didn't have anyone else with whom I could speak. And so I ended up being diagnosed with PTSD, schizophrenia, and through that experience, through challenging that experience, through challenging that diagnosis, meaning talking back to the voices that was talking to me and explaining to me how unworthy I am and how inappropriate it was for me to be in ministry and who did I think that I was and why don't you just go and jump off the nearest bridge and those kinds of things. So I wrote about it. That's when I really started journaling. Journaling is a very healthy way of putting on paper what's going on in a place that almost defies description. And as a result, I was able to self-heal as an officer serving as a chaplain. And it was an amazing experience. And as I said, journaling is the key for many people. Everybody doesn't like journaling, but for me, it was an opportunity to become whole. And I continued that when I came out. It didn't become a book until 2018. And, you know, that's kind of how, I mean, if it hadn't been for that military experience, I would not be in a position to help my fellow veterans understand or get a grip on themselves. And even to today, I use that experience to help fellow veterans to understand how we can diminish and hopefully someday eliminate death by suicide, which is at 21, 22 per day nationwide now. It really takes, you know, standing in the mirror and defying what you've been taught or what has been said to you by, I'm going to say by the empire, whether that empire is political or religious or military, it really is our responsibility or my responsibility to have experienced that to help others not to experience it. In other words, what I'm saying is I, too, am a victim of sexual assault while serving in the military. I, too, after coming home, attempted suicide, and all of that would have happened, number one, if I didn't have a praying mother. I've got to give my mother credit, God rest her soul, for me having some stability of mind. And I'm doing that with veterans as we speak. On the 1st of December, for an example, I met with a group of veterans, and the topic was, I survived death by suicide, a time of storytelling. And it was amazing to hear fellow veterans talk about their experience and how they survived death by suicide and how that we survived death by suicide.
Wow.
And how wonderful it is to have to talk about that, who is a professional but is not going to take the clinical approach. That's the last thing we need as veterans, is the clinical approach. We need folks that will talk with us from a spiritual perspective, that will talk to our soul, that will help our soul stay in fitness, that while we have been able to accomplish many of the things that we've been able to accomplish and to accumulate the things that we've been able to accumulate, the one thing that we have left out along the way is inspirationals that feed the soul, good news that feeds the soul, affirmations that feed the soul. And so that's a long way around answering the question about serving in the military, but it's so important for military people who are often isolated from their families for periods of time or have multiple deployments that's really at the root of our deaths by suicide. And then we've got a very, well, I don't want to call it a, we have a reentry program that could use a lot of strengthening. And so that's the next thing that we're going to work on is, you know, how do we transition from a very structured family, very structured and very strong family system where I've got your back and you've got my back to a civilian system where that camaraderie is missing. And very often it's a result, and it can result in divorce. It can result in post-traumatic stress disorder. It can result in considering, and unfortunately, some succeeding in committing death by suicide. It's an ongoing thing, but it's exciting to pay it forward, so to speak.
Yes, and listening to you, thank you for what you do for veterans, and I hope so many people this is resonating. I agree with Pamela June Anderson in saying that people are disconnected out there, and they feel disoriented and lonely, etc., and so much is welling up inside of them. So 21 to 22 suicides a day, that's unbelievable. We only have a minute or so left, and I know, it just flies by. What do you hope people take away from reading this? That there is hope and that they can do something?
Well, they will take away an opportunity to self-reflect, an opportunity to heal internally, because Kate, that's where the work takes place. Mm-hmm. I can go to all of the seminars and all of the conferences and all of the churches, and I can do all of that external work, but nothing happens until I stand in the mirror. You know, who was that? Michael Jackson made the recording. I'm starting with the person in the mirror.
Yeah,
that you've got. The work is internal. It's really taking time, number one, to get to know, well, who am I? And why am I here? And do I believe what I have been taught? Or am I willing to take the risk to, what's the word that I'm looking for? To take a critical look at what I've been taught, whether it's religious or political or social, are these my values or are these the values that have been imposed upon me?
Yep.
And that's where the rubber meets the road. And we have to have the courage to say, well, you know, I need to tweak that a little bit. And maybe if I write about it, if I take this opportunity to look at these articles that have been written from a reflective perspective becoming whole, to be made whole as the goal, and to live the life I love as a goal, and to get to know who I am and whose I am. So the takeaway, an opportunity to start an internal journey toward wholeness and to understand, yeah, the work may be tedious, but on the other side of it, life is good. Life is glorious. Life is wonderful. And I, too, whoever the I may be, I, too, can reach out to my fellow veteran or my fellow brother or my fellow sister and take a hand and make a friend and mm-hmm. ease on down the road.
I like that. Yeah. Perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, Soul Fiber for Soul Fitness. Pamela June and Anderson, thanks for what you do, and thank you for sharing your story.
Okay, let's talk again.
shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I talk about this all the time. I grew up with a woman who was an English teacher, a big part of her life anyway, and she was all about being able to pronounce words and learning words as a kid. So I'm really excited to have Florence Barnes on with us. She's written a book called Learn to Read from Sounds, and I agree with her. I think this is so, so important. Florence, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
So let's talk about that. In why did you write this book? Did you also realize how important this was?
Yes, I did.
And why was that? What did you notice? What did you see with kids you were teaching?
When I came out of teacher's training, the people had started using Dick and Jane readers, that where they were supposed to memorize words. And since I was raised on phonics, I kept on teaching it, but it gradually happened that it went out of favor.
And you know what, hooked on phonics, explain that to people. Somebody says phonics, because now it's like a foreign language, since often they don't use phonics.
Phonics is just sound, the sounds of words, the sounds that make up words.
Yeah.
And I'll just finish my first part there. When I was teaching at first, I didn't realize the problem that was happening. But then when I read John, I forget the name of the person now, I read a book about it anyways, and I realized that this business of teaching sounds that was going out of style was a big problem for children.
So that is why
I got started on trying to promote phonics.
Absolutely. With the use of phonics, it shows you how easy it can be to learn to read, because you learn by sounding the vowels in combination with, of course, the consonants. And then you go on to, am I right, Florence? You build words kind of brick by brick, right?
Yes. And to expect children to learn to read words by memorizing them is ridiculous, because the words don't look like their meanings at all. It's the sounds that make the words and give them meaning.
Yeah, thank goodness that's the way I learned, because I have such a love, I mentioned this at the beginning, of reading and words, and this is what I do, write and speak, and I can't imagine as a child what that would have been like for me. I think it would have been incredibly, incredibly difficult. So in your book, you give examples of short and long vowels and combinations. Is it kind of, how did you put this together? How did you put the book together?
Well, it's just work that everybody knows, who knows how to sound words. And I started with the letter A, saying A, which is called the short vowel sound. And then I give practice with words, three-letter words with the letter A, and which is a vowel. And then I would continue from there on until all the letters in the alphabet had been covered. And
yep.
It's one step at a time.
Yeah, one step at a time. I agree with that. And the book is called Learn to Read from Sounds. If you're listening to us across the country, there may be some of you who don't even read, and people are embarrassed to say that when they fall into that category. But there sometimes are people that struggle with that as adults, and we're speaking with the author of that, Florence Barnes. And you saw that it's so important, right, for kids to get this. And we started off saying that, to get that foundation right in the beginning, because it's so difficult when they don't have that, and then they become teenagers and adults, and then they're embarrassed to say, am I right?
That's right. They have trouble all through school, and they're embarrassed, and some get depressed, others get into trouble, and things like that.
Yeah, and you told me a story about, for you as a lifelong teacher, as somebody who's done this for a living, that you have people that will come up to you and hug you and say thank you because they had you as a teacher. I mean, you were a lifetime teacher from early years to middle years of childhood learning. And tell us about one of those experiences.
Well, I taught all my life except a few years when I spent home when my children were small, but then I went back to teaching again, and I didn't actually teach reading per se, but I taught everything in the lower grades, and then after I retired, a neighbor who lived across the road from me was at her wit's end, because her girl in grade 2 would cry every time she had to try to read, and she asked for help. So that's when I started teaching phonics to young children, most of them grade 2, and I taught one at a time. I didn't have classes. I had children coming to my house one at a time for lessons.
Wow.
And they gradually learned. As soon as they started on phonics, they or sounds, they began to improve.
Yeah, and I can imagine that. That makes sense, because it goes back to what we said in the beginning here. It's about sounding out the words. And the name of the book is Learn to Read from Sounds. That's what we're talking about, Florence Barnes. Thank you so much. What do you hope the big takeaway is for the people who read your book?
Well, at the beginning, I have a few pages to explain how we got from phonics to whole words, and then from there to what they called whole language, which still didn't push phonics. And now, what was the question?
Yeah, so you give them an example and why it's so important. So the reason you want people to learn it is so that they can read, so they can sound it out, and they can solve
that
puzzle. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Florence, for joining us on the show.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, a little bit more on phonics, like Florence was saying, and this is so, it is big for me. My grandmother, Delaney, was a teacher, and my father was, although he died when I was 7, he was a poet and a writer, and I have his work, and I can see it, the methods, and reading was emphasized, and sounding things out were emphasized. I can remember him reading to me as a kid, and how important that was. So phonics, of course, as we were talking about, is a method for teaching, reading, and writing of English language. And it's the ability to hear, identify, manipulate, and as she explains and Florence explains in her book, in order to correspond between the sounds and the spelling patterns that represent them. And, of course, there's this tug of war over phonics, but the goal of phonics is to enable anyone who's starting to be able to decode, come up with, and know really these ways to know these new words by sounding them out and blending the sound spelling patterns. So it focuses on the spoken and written units within the words as it's been described to me. And it's, as she mentioned, it's often contrasted with whole language, which is a word up philosophy for teaching reading. So, you know, the basic principles of phonics, I looked this up because it was so fascinating to me, and her book is so fascinating because of, again, the correlation that I've seen with reading. And it was first came about in 1570, a guy named John Hart. And since the turn of the 20th century, it was used a lot in primary education and, as she did, in teaching literacy throughout the English-speaking world. And now there are other forms, like I was reading about something called synthetic phonics, and that's another method of teaching reading, and that's in England and Australia. And I just think it's incredibly important to sound it out. And like I said, this is something that has touched my life because of the background of teachers and reading and learning to sound things out when I was young. I can remember being corrected, especially because I grew up in as a small kid in New York, and you throw in that accent, you know what I'm talking about. Right now, I've got a lot of y'alls, but you know what I'm talking about. Yo, any yous or any of that combining thing. So my mother was great about that, about learning to do that phonetic patterns. And, boy, it helped me when I jumped into school because when we moved, you know, then you're going into another system. So anyway, a terrific discussion on that. It is about sound. Stay with us. More coming your way on the flip side.
Followed by a set of chimes.
Orchestra bell.
Finally, a roll on the cymbal.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.